You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Spice Bags Christmas special. We're delighted to have you here with us for this special episode to get you in the festive mood. We are talking about all things Christmas food, Christmas traditions and food memories. And myself, Blanca and May are delighted to have the boys from That's Bangin' podcast, which is also on the Head Stuff Podcast Network and is the award-winning Best Irish Food Podcast of 2022. Chris Mellon and Marcus O'Leary, welcome to the studio, guys.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Honestly, this is a dream come true.
We've been talking about a Christmas miracle. We have been talking about doing an episode with you guys for so long, and it's just really nice to do it, I suppose, at Christmas, because we all love food and we all have different backgrounds. And I think it's really interesting just to look at, because Christmas is a weird time anyway, in terms of food as well, because people they stick with specific foods. They get very traditional, very narrow-minded and a little bit about food. They don't want to stray, don't dare stray. Yeah. So I think that it's really funny to look at that and look back to our own, I think, childhood and what we were made to eat or things like that. So looking forward to delving into it with you. Let's start by looking back, I suppose. Marcus, do you want to start us off and tell us a little bit about yourself and your family growing up and what Christmas was like?
I kind of had a three-pronged Christmas. So obviously half French, so I spent a lot of Christmases in France. That was always a huge family affair with my granny kind of as the matriarch head chef of the thing. Then I did a good few Christmases in my dad's family home, which is in Finglas, like just a little house where 10 kids grew up. I've talked about this, where it was very traditional, turkey, ham, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I did kind of a non-traditional Christmas at home with my parents a couple of times. And now very much what that's evolved to is my mum's in France, my dad's in Ireland, and now I tend to cook Christmas dinner here.
Yeah.
So the Christmas dinner in France was always very different. You know, it's like, it's not your turkey and ham. It was like, you know, like boudin noir blood sausage and applesauce and like goose and stuff like that. And like always like consommé and stuff like that. Like I was helping my granny make consommé when I was like 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
But I remember like deveining lobes of foie gras at the same age, like that kind of like. So like, and then, you know, so it was always kind of a different experience. There was a real sense of like big occasion to it.
Was it a multi-course meal in France?
It was a multi-course meal, and traditionally you'd have it on the 24th as opposed to the 25th.
Yeah, yeah.
So like you'd eat until you were like fit to burst, and then they were like, all right, guys, time for mass. you'd be there like in the village, and you know, like that, just because it's a little village in the French countryside with a church in it, and you'd just have, you know, one really impassioned priest just talking to like 200 sleeping people.
That sounds pretty nice though.
So yeah, I mean, you know, I'm atheist, but I like cooking. I think you can take it on. I think you can.
Chris, what was Christmas like for you?
For me, like, it's actually really super traditional, and what kind of people call tradition now in Ireland. You know, it's the turkey and ham. Quite a small family background. We're from Drumcondra, so, you know, quite a just north inner city kind of background. Turkey, ham, all the kind of trimmings, you know, nothing kind of out of the ordinary, I suppose. But then I suppose it's evolved now over the years where I cook now. This is actually my first year that I'm going to be cooking without my mum and dad as well there. Yeah. So I'm actually going to my partner's house this year, and I'm going to be cooking there. So I suppose responsibility now for, like, you know, a different family to take on the cooking with as well, which is cool. But I think this year now I'm going to be like putting a lot of preparation into actually the Christmas Eve and having it all done in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'm actually like ready to just drive, because I won't be cooking in the house that I'm actually serving food in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be cooking at home and then driving out there. or somewhere. So just a bit more preparation, I suppose, now. But yeah, I don't have any stories about blood sausages, and, you know, unfortunately. You know.
Did you, when you were growing up, I know in Ireland it's quite common to fight over the type of stuffing or something. Would you have different types of stuffing? Anything particular about the meal that you absolutely adored that your parents did a specific way or your family did? Or
yeah, I think to be honest, it's like for me as a kid, and I kind of think back, it's more to kind of lead up to Christmas with, like, you know, all the other traditions around food, and, you know, just like super simple stuff that's kind of like we'd nearly call party food now. And you just, you know, you see them in all your local supermarkets now, where you can just buy your pigs in blankets and stuff like that. But that's kind of like, you know, that's really Christmassy to me when you see those sort of things on the shelves, or, you know, you're doing them yourself at home. Even like, you know, the vol-au-vent is a Christmas thing these days. You know, it's either a wedding or Christmas when you think of a chicken vol-au-vent and mushroom. But that kind of stuff is kind of really what, like, kind of resonates for me around Christmas. I suppose on the day of it, like, was there any arguments about stuffing? I don't know. The one thing for me I always think about is, like, everyone always arriving with all the different desserts. Oh, and yeah, then there's kind of a bit of snobbery around if you won't have a bit of trifle. You know, if my auntie brings the trifle and, you know, you'll only have a bit of roulade or whatever else is going on like that, then, you know, you might be getting a dirty look across the table going, why didn't he try the trifle?
I know.
So that's kind of like, you know, I suppose that would be the kind of
Irish dessert, yeah, for
us. Irish dessert for us. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that actually just, so I want to ask, best Christmas dinner, worst Christmas dinner?
Well, like, I suppose you know, I'll say my best Christmas dinner is, you know, obviously my first Christmas dinner was always with my grandmother, who's passed now. So, you know, I have to say she was the best Christmas dinner ever. And she was. And, like, my grandmother taught me how to cook as well. So I've kind of, like, you know, even now, like, you know, I still have her massive, massive pot that's, like, you know, 100 years old that I'll be boiling my ham in, you know. So, like, that kind of thing. I suppose worst Christmas dinner, I won't say, because, you know, in case people are listening and they get offended very quickly. Yeah. But there is a...
They can be anonymous.
I think with, like, you know, whereas Christmas dinners can, like, I think because people are so into Christmas dinner and, you know, it's such a big occasion, if something isn't quite right, you know, it does feel like a massive letdown. So there is a lot of, I suppose there is a lot of pressure on someone. You know, I think, you know, the episode of The Royal Family when Denise cooks the turkey, like, you know, now I haven't had a Christmas dinner like that. But you know what I'm saying? It's, yeah, like, you know, there is a lot of pressure on people around Christmas dinner. So when things aren't, maybe especially now people have that snobbery around tradition, you know, if something's a little bit not the way they'd do it, then they might be kind of really annoyed about it, you know.
Yeah.
But I love all sorts of food and I wouldn't have any of that kind of snobbery. But I think this one's going to be another good Christmas dinner this year. Yeah. Again,
and May and Blanca, I actually wanted to throw that first question to you guys. Blanca first, what was Christmas like for you growing up?
Well, I have to say one of the most interesting things Christmas wise for me was when I was a little girl, and this is in Spain post Franco dictatorship, we had really shitty presents, but, you know, really glamorous food.
Okay.
And it was like turkey terrine and consomme and just like fancy seafood. But then when I moved to Latin America, all of a sudden the tables were turned and it was like really fancy presents and really basic food. So I thought in my mind, my mom, and I've discussed this with May before, my mom's obsessed with turkey terrine with truffles. And this is a dish that everyone in my family makes. And it's a big, you know, badge of honor. And it's so glamorous and it's expensive and complicated. But my mom made it so complicated one year that she bought a turkey and then she killed it with the help of one of our maids. We lived in Latin America, so we had, you know, people working for us. We didn't in Spain. And it was horrific. So I don't know. That was, to me, that's like, I love turkey terrine, but hold on.
The terrine was horrific, or like the punching a turkey to death by a maid?
The turkey screaming.
The hearing a turkey being killed. I was traumatized.
Well, that's the thing about decapitating. You don't hear
turkeys
it for that long.
Yeah. It was horrible. But anyway, like, look, she wanted to have, she didn't want tamales. You know, tamales, the corn dough wrapped in banana leaves.
Yeah.
She's like,
yeah,
this year I want to have turkey terrine. And we're like, and the next year we said, no, mom, we want tamales.
And I know, and not to bring down, I know your mom passed this year. Is it important to you to kind of bring that tradition on and do her turkey terrine? Like, will you try and do it this
year?
I'm
going to do it this year, yeah. And my dad's actually, he's coming today from Spain. So he's bringing strips of jamón serrano to run through the terrine.
Yeah.
And I have the truffles stashed. They're not fancy, super fancy. But yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to go down the microwave route. Some of my cousins have gone down that route.
Or kill a turkey.
I have standards. I'm doing it in a bain-marie in the oven. So.
There we go.
But that's the dish that defines my upbringing.
Love it. May, what about for you growing up? What was Christmas like?
Well, I wanted to remind you, Dee Laughlin, that you spent Christmas with me.
I did.
You did. And, you know, again.
Not growing up. Just
not growing up, but you know, and it was the last Christmas I ever spent with my stepfather, who passed away on Christmas Day last year.
Yeah,
right. So you know, so our dish was always cassoulet.
And how come is that? Sorry.
Huh?
And tell Marcus and yeah. Chris, why cassoulet?
Why cassoulet? Okay, so cassoulet is duck confit or goose confit, mm-hmm. and then you have the beans that are cooked with lamb neck, and then you have sausages, and it's all layered, and it takes it. Long time.
It can take days.
It really does take days. And then if you use the Julia Child method, then you put the breadcrumbs and garlic and parsley, and then you're stirring that in. My family went to Carcassonne when I was, I think, 5 years old, and we became obsessed with this dish. So that became the Christmas dish that we would always bring to whoever was hosting Christmas, right?
And on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or...
Christmas Day,
yeah.
Christmas Eve, we always have this, we try to do Chinese. Don't remember, it's usually, we call it lu ro, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this braised Chinese pork that my Aunt Sha is brilliant at, and she will use like 2 bottles of Burgundy, shallots, obviously, star anise, garlic, ginger, a bit of honey, and then what she does is, and then we steep eggs and dried tofu Ooh. And bamboo shoots into it.
Sounds
and
delicious.
It's so good.
Sounds and then, amazing, yeah.
And then when everything is done, she will freeze that marinade and use it the next
time. Did you say bottles of Burgundy?
2 bottles of Burgundy.
2 bottles of Burgundy. And what were the spices?
Shallots. Oh, shallots. Okay, so that's the new thing, right? So yeah. Usually we go, okay, soy sauce, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, star anise, garlic, ginger, scallions, you know, that new thing. But yeah, but her thing is the 2 bottles of very good Burgundy
yeah.
and shallots.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mulled wine mashup. You just say it's mulled wine with just some extra eggs. Like, you know, you've got star anise, you've got star anise, you've got ginger, you've got everything. That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's really good. It's very good.
Mulled wine with pork.
Have you guys, I mean, Marcus, I know you'd go to France sometimes, but have you ever gone away for Christmas?
I have, yeah. Brought my dad to Amsterdam for Christmas once.
Nice.
Like last minute, it was just, you know, there was some kind of complicated family stuff going on and I just wanted to take his mind off it. And you know, also, I was just like, I was burnt out. I'd been gigging all month. So I just jumped on, like, literally onto Skyscanner. I was like, what's the cheapest flight I can get? If you ever use, like, lastminute.com, got a mystery hotel, which ended up being, like, a 5-star hotel with a 2 Michelin-star restaurant on the roof.
Wow.
Which we ended up getting a booking in on, like, the 23rd, somehow.
What was served?
That was an amazing meal. We went to a traditional Dutch restaurant on Christmas Day called De Eastbreaker.
The Eastbreaker.
I don't know, maybe need to speak a little bit more Dutch. Like the Eastbreaker. Like it's just kind of but like basically it's like a traditional Dutch place, they specialise in roast chicken. And they do kind of, they have this kind of contraption where the chicken stands upright, kinda like a beer can chicken. Mm. And all the fat runs down into potatoes around it. So for Christmas dinner we just had like 24 oysters and a roast chicken. And loads of wine.
Oh, that sounds
and like, didn't have to do any washing up. Didn't have to do any.
That sounds awesome.
Honestly, it was great.
That sounds really nice.
I've never been away, but my friend has actually gone to New York this week, and he's going to be in New York for Christmas. He's going up to the Hamptons, but he was saying that all the pubs are open in New York on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So like, you know, that's just weird because like, you know, obviously we have the, you know, our tradition, obviously being Christian country, is that, you know, the pub's been closed for years on Christmas Day and Good Friday. But like, I just kind of find that weird. Like, you know, if you're going to be just like out socializing on Christmas Day, I don't know. Right. That's a strange one.
I went to New York for Christmas in 2019. Mm. I kind of don't love kind of Christmas like in general, or our family don't all get together. So I'd gone to my brother a couple of times in Berlin, and then on 2019, I was just like, I'm just going to book a flight to New York. You know, like home alone experience, like the kind of big Christmas trees. And then I went to May's for dinner. But like suddenly I was like, my friends very kindly offered me their like downtown penthouse apartment that overlooked like
Wonderful.
Ground Zero and all that whole area. Oh, down there. Okay. Absolutely amazing. And I just had to look after their gorgeous puppy in return.
Oh my God, it sounds horrible.
Can I do that?
Horrible. So I was like single at the time, and I remember on Christmas Eve, I was all like happy out, walking around, eating, drinking, half out. On Christmas Eve, I was a bit like, I'd love an old pint down the pub with a bit of a sing song or something, yeah. You know. So I jumped on Tinder and I organized a date and I met him in an Irish pub. And we went down to this Irish pub, it was uptown. And I'd been in it once before and met, and there was loads of other Irish people at the bar. Your mom was a bit of a weirdo, but like, it was grand. He was fine. He was
he was grand for, like, you know, deep. Pint of Christmas
Eve. He
was
grand for the for the pints. But no, he was a nice guy and we had a really lovely evening. It was really nice. But like, it was more that there was loads of other people who had just gathered around this kind of horseshoe shaped bar. And like, literally the sing song did break out, and you know, it was very kind of in a very Irish way, and it was just so nice.
Lovely.
You know,
indeed.
Like the before I swiftly put your man in the taxi home, like the other direction.
Like the massive bang of like blockbuster Christmas movie off that story, like small town Irish girl flees family at Christmas. She goes to the big city of New York. She's staying in her friend's apartment with a puppy, having a great time, frolicking around. She meets the possible love of her life. Goes to an Irish bar, makes eye contact with somebody from her original village from across the bar. He's a carpenter and he shows her the meaning of Christmas. They kiss on a bridge. The Pogues play in the background.
Coming to your cinema soon. A fairy tale in New York.
Honestly, like, seriously, like, that's the holiday. Like, that's, yeah.
I did meet someone who knew someone who I knew. So obviously, in an Irish book, you're going to meet somebody, you know.
Yeah.
But and then on Christmas Day, I went up to New Haven, up to May's family, which was just so lovely and wonderful to be part of that and have that nice family
where we were
experience.
All screeching to the sound of music.
Oh, no, it was beautiful. It was so nice.
He was going, oh my God, what is happening?
Not at all. It was so nice.
The other one I find interesting is people that go to the hotels every year at Christmas.
I'd love that.
This year was the first year I actually kind of looked into it just to see, maybe. And by the time we actually looked into it, they were all booked out. It was like you couldn't get one. So it was just kind of
to do like Ashford Castle for Christmas or something like really like
some of them look
you know,
some of them look really good, but like they're also really pricey. But you kind of get it. But like even the packages they do, when you kind of break it down, you actually are getting a lot for like you know because they're usually always two or three night deals. So you're there for like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Stephen's Day. So you do get two proper buffet feeds and all that kind of jazz. Now obviously there's different ones, but I think I will definitely do it some year because it does look like I think it'd just be kind of really
it's
nice,
kind of magical. Or so if you go somewhere like, I mean, I know I'm naming like really expensive places, but like Adair Manor or like that, obviously castles are so majestic and stuff around Christmas, but you can also get like, as you said, just really gorgeous hotels. I just kind of like the idea of
an
hotel
Ibis
beds
budget.
Are so, an Ibis Christmas.
Ibis Christmas would be amazing.
Included in your price is a packet of Pringles that has a smoke put on the top.
And the optional mini bar.
Optional mini bar.
I did do in Dublin, I had some Hilton points from my living in America where you get tons of points. And I took my daughters and my husband to the Conrad and we went to see a musical in the National Concert Hall. And we stayed there and they loved it. It was like, they always say, can we do it again? But one of them said, can we do it again at the Shelburne? I was like, no.
The Conrad's not good enough for you.
Like, what at the Shelburne? She went to the Shelburne once through the door and she's been obsessed with the Shelburne. But I want to do it. My husband doesn't want it. He's too traditional Irish. He wants me to.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So you moved to Ireland with your husband, or you were already married when you moved?
Yeah, we've been together 25 years, but we moved 7 years ago.
And what was the first Irish Christmas like for you?
The first one was in 98.
Oh yeah, what was that like?
I hope my in-laws are not listening. It was very cold in their house. I would say 14 degrees, and there was a lot of mulled wine.
I mean, that's not bad.
So I got
one counteracts the other, right?
Yeah.
You need. That's why you have to drink mulled wine in my in-laws. I don't drink mulled wine. I just have normal because we have a rated house. So.
Oh, yeah.
But no, can I ask a question? Yeah. So my in-laws always make spiced beef, but then I talk to other people and they don't have spiced beef. Why is that?
Spiced beef is like the alternative to turkey and ham in Ireland, but mostly for people from the south. So spiced beef is a cork
Tom
thing.
Durkin.
Tom Durkin spiced beef is the best. But why would you make it when you can get Tom Durkin's?
But they make the three. They make ham, spiced beef and turkey.
It is an Irish thing, but it's associated with being from Cork because that's where the spices
It was the
came
spices
in.
Would come in, and also it was a method of preserving beef around Christmas. Yeah,
exactly.
But I've always seen spiced beefs as like a Stephen's Day sandwich.
Yeah.
It's a sandwich on the 26th, like. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other one I've seen now is, I was in FXB Easter today in the butchers, and they were saying that they've already, like, the order they have, like, 200 beef Wellingtons ordered for Christmas this year.
Beef Wellington seems to be creeping in.
That seems to be the one there. Now,
yeah.
In fairness, like, I actually had the FXB beef Wellington today. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But,
like a beef Wellington's delicious. Like, empirically, a beef Wellington, it cannot be bad. Like,
it's delicious.
Yeah.
They're
using the right stuff, like.
you have to be doing something incredibly wrong to take, like, a beautiful aged fillet of beef, a mushroom duck cell with garlic, thyme, a little bit of brandy, a herb crepe, some ham, some other bits.
Maybe some foie gras.
Some foie gras. Okay, all right. You're speaking my language, Cassoulet girl. Yeah.
Cassoulet girl.
I think it's, when I was growing up, we always had a very traditional Christmas, but some years my dad would get, like, we'd have goose a few times. Definitely a couple of times. And definitely a couple of times we had beef, I think, just for a change, but it was kind of a spiced beef.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are alternatives creeping in, even though most people still stick to turkey and ham. Like, I personally don't like to have turkey and ham. I don't know. Like, the last year we had venison. This year we're having picanha. Like, I just think Christmas should be about not getting dressed if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, stay in your Christmas pajamas, watching movies, eating chocolate for breakfast if you want to. And the biggest fight you should have is whether it's roses or Quality Street. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm joking. But what I mean is you should have a meal of, like, whatever you want. Like, the best food you want to eat that day, like, just have it.
I was just going to say.
People are listening to this going, sacrilege.
No, yeah. But it's not even that. It's just the fact that, I mean, for me, right, so I'm American. So Thanksgiving is where we do the traditional. We do the turkey. But Christmas is competitive. It is. Everyone is competitive.
Like, among your family. Like,
among my family, right? And so, you know, whether we're, you know, someone's roasting a goose and someone's doing a lamb tenderloin or some, you know, like, and it's just, it's so crab cakes. Like, there's so much work. Or cassoulet, right? Like, you know, and there's seafood lasagna, and it's, you know, and everyone ends up cleaning and cooking the entire time, and it's exhausting. And so
I actually just I'm having a few friends over to my dad's house for Christmas. I always take in strays on Christmas. So anyone who doesn't have, I just finalize the menu for it, and I was like, why am I doing this to myself?
Okay, tell us the menu.
Yes, please.
Our starters is I'm getting a side of rope hung Kerry smoked salmon. That's going to be delicious. So doing like a lemon and horseradish cream. Then doing seared scallops with a chive and caviar beurre blanc. Crab claws with smoked herb butter, and then Kelly's oysters with three different dressings.
Nice.
Then doing like kind of cook, got a four bone in rib of beef. Personally, I think anybody who voluntarily like eats turkey is a weirdo. Like, I just think that, like,
the less flavors than meat.
Honestly, no.
We need, like, to. We will swap turkey recipes my turkey recipe is excellent.
I think the best way to cook a turkey is break it down, sous vide some of it, make yakitori,
but also stick it on a barbecue.
Mayonnaise and a lot of
I've seen people doing that a lot more recently.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, like most people who cook a turkey, they're just like, I'm going to put this in a 300 Celsius degree oven for 9 days and hope for the best.
And just eat the breast meat.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it's so, like, why would you do that when you could have a big rib of beef?
Okay, tell us more about this
more
menu.
More.
Okay, so yeah, doing a rib of beef, doing a kind of like a big spice rub on that. Kind of inspired by Tom Durkin, but not super inspired by it. Goose fat roast buds, sprouts with guanciale, miso maple, glazed carrots and parsnip.
Oh, nice.
Beef tallow Yorkshire puddings. A salad, token salad, gotta have it.
Yeah. For the fiber. You need the fiber.
And just, yeah, and then a Christmas pudding, but like.
What are
so
the desserts?
So Christmas pudding is in.
Christmas
are you
pudding.
Making
a steam
Did
pudding?
No, I'm not
Christmas
making a steam pudding.
Okay.
No, I'm
right,
not. I'm
I was
not,
just
but like.
Say that's, you know, you should have done that.
You need
that
to
two
have made it.
Yeah. Yeah, you
or
need
a
to.
A year ago, maybe.
You need to have made, yeah, it's always a. I just got a haircut. My barber was telling me that, you know, like when your aunts find out that you like something, they keep it. When he was a baby, his granny used to make puddings and age them for a year in a cot. When he was like 2 years old, he was put in that cot and apparently made his way into the puddings in like March.
No way.
And ate like two of them.
I love that story.
But like, obviously these puddings are like fruits steeping in whiskey for ages now. So they came back to like this bloated drunk baby and his entire family still just give him pudding every year now. And they're like, oh, you still loved it from when he was a baby. It's like, I hate it. I have PTSD.
Like, big drunk baby.
Little drunk baby.
Loaded drunk baby.
So you guys are both cooking Christmas dinner. You're both mad into food. Can I ask you, do you have any go-to, like, people or cookbooks or sources for food when you're looking to do a menu yourself, like, is there anyone you watch on television or follow on Instagram or whatever that inspires you? Or like, is the Darina Allen Christmas cookbook like your go-to? Or like, do you have anything like that that you would use as a reference?
I think for me, like, you know, I hate to say it, but like the internet is just like there now. So like, you're just constantly finding new things. Like, you know, I mean, like, it's just constantly just watching a video of someone going, that looks deadly, I'll do that. And then like, just change up. So like, there's nothing I've kept, you know, regular over the years. Like, even like, you know, I've done the same maybe ham for like 2 or 3 years, and now this year I'm like going, oh, that looks really good, I might try that. You know, and even though like, you know, I'm like thinking maybe I shouldn't, because I, you know, don't fix what's not broken, you know. But like, there is some, like, there is certain things even I picked up. Like, there's one thing I'm doing this year that I'd never done before, and it's like, it's from Jamie Oliver, like, you know what I mean? But like, it's like, there's these leeks that I've been doing, like, I've been cooking them for the last like maybe 2 months, like, I mean, I was just cooking them, like, maybe I say I've cooked them 6 times, and they're just like, they're Jamie Oliver a la leek or something like that, you know. But it's just 3 cheese leeks, like, they're, but they're unbelievable, like, you know. Now come here, maybe it's not called that, but it's something along those lines.
Jamie leek sounds
Jamie,
like,
Jamie leek. But yeah, no, it's just like I'm just using 3 Whopper Irish cheeses and just cooking down the leeks in the pan for like, hour, like, for over like maybe an hour and a half, and then like cook them down for like an hour and a half, just in butter and like, you know, a little bit of cream and stuff like that. And then when they're really cooked down, then at the end I'm just like lashings on, like I'm using like it's like some Wicklow brie, some like, well, not Irish parmesan, but a bit of parmesan, and just some really, really mature cheddar, and then just braise that all on top, a little bit more cream, and then into the oven, then in like a big dish for like maybe like 25 minutes, and then when they come out, it's just like they're just ridiculous. Like,
have you had the Bambino leek and cheese pizza?
It's that the greens one, is it?
Yeah. I just had it for the first time, Bambino, there last week and or the week before, and they have a blue cheese and leek.
Yeah, I have had
with
it. Yeah,
honey.
Yeah. My God, shout out to Bambino, like down on what's it called, Stephen Street.
Yeah,
absolutely
oh my
fab.
God. They're
like,
so good. But that just reminded me of that. The leek and blue cheese works so well together.
Yeah, it's ricotta and greens, is it?
It's a blue cheese. Maybe they changed it up, but I think there's a blue cheese and leek one there when I was there.
Yeah, well, like you said, like what they're doing down there is absolutely fab. Like the guys are deadly. Like, they're just, and like, you know what, like New York slices. I know we've had Dee Fontaine's for years, but like, I think what they're like, I think, you know, it was kind of needed as well, like, you know, and now they're doing some really, really good pizzas.
Not to use the most kind of cliched word in food, but like, it's elevated.
And Marcus, what about you? Any cookbooks or other inspiration for your food for Christmas or otherwise?
I'm a big, like, look at the pictures guy.
Yeah.
So like, I've never been a recipe cook. I kind of like, I look at something and I kind of get rough inspiration from it.
Yeah.
And just go off then. But if I do need something, generally if I'm making sauces or anything, I'm just going to the Larousse Gastronomique. Like, literally classic, my granny's copy.
So is your token salad a Jamie Oliver token salad?
I'm not doing that token salad. I'm doing a salad with kind of Grebisch herbs, chopped egg.
Lovely.
And a few other things. So
nice.
Yeah.
Do you guys, Blanca and May, I think we've chatted about this before, but do you have any go-to Christmas?
I have to say, because I could be Marcus and Chris's mother. if I got married really young. No, I love Delia Smith's Christmas book. I have to say, it is possibly, and when I worked in Books for Cooks, it was really the book that everybody, it was the gold standard, because she just has, it's a classic book. It never went out of fashion. And I love her mulled wine, like sorbet, and her goose recipe. And it's just a
mulled wine sorbet sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, she's very awesome. Good. That's my go-to Christmas book. But recently my hands are tied because my husband really doesn't get the Spanish. In Spain, we change our menu around and it's all about appetizers. And it's all about fresh seafood, oysters. So he loves his traditional, turkey, Irish, spiced beef. So my dad and his parents are coming over. So I've decided we're going to make it totally Irish. Ooh. So traditional. But I will have my little Spanish the night before, like the tureen and seafood, oysters. He'll open all the oysters from Cavison's.
Yeah.
That's his job. And then I'll make maybe the mulled wine sorbet. Nice. But yeah, I do like the traditional Irish meal. It's just I find it a little bit like heavy. Christmas cake and then pudding, and you're like,
you,
oh my
graze.
God.
I love Caviston's squatting in there, just
amazing.
Like everything.
Oh my God. The shop has never called me poor in so many different languages. But come here, can we all talk about just the most important Christmas meal, which is the sandwich the next day?
I know. Like, or just that night.
Listen, if you're doing it that night, my God, you are hardcore. Or that's why you have leftovers, because you didn't eat it that much during the day. Yeah. But like the Christmas sandwich the next day is like a religious experience.
And I will say that's
but
the
I think
thing
also it's like if you do turkey and ham, right? You know, you know, if you go off book, which my family does, right?
Yeah.
You know, like whether you're doing seafood lasagna or you may like be roasting a duck and blah, 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 blah. So you don't actually, so like for me, Christmas here in Ireland is very similar to American Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right. And then.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say on that as well is that if you're having an alternative Christmas dinner, which I like to have, I make sure I get in like a roast chicken or something and have like, even though, so for example, we're doing picanha this year, but we're having half Brazilian sides, half Irish sides. So I will, and then I'll have a roast chicken in the fridge. So I'll have the makings for my Christmas sandwich because I have to have the Christmas
but
sandwich.
But then I'd like to hear about like the Brazilian Christmas sandwich then from what you're going to make using the other bits and pieces that you're going to have there with the picanha. And then what other sides are we actually talking about then?
So for my husband loves with picanha, the Brazilians would have rice. Mm-hmm. So kind of rice with that you fry, dry fry with onions and garlic and then put in your water and absorb it. Then you have vinaigrette, which is made with peppers, tomato, red onion, spring onion, and just some water and vinegar.
Nice.
And then you have farofa, which is a kind of grated cassava root.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which you would do. You can do that loads of different ways. You can also buy it in ready-made packs here, because you can't get cassava root everywhere here. So he would just fry that with some bacon and again onions and garlic. Am I forgetting anything? Sometimes they have potato salad. They're big into potato salad as well. I think that's everything. But like, we're going to do rice, vinaigrette, farofa, and the picanha for Marcio. And then for me, it's going to be like roasties, mashed stuffing. And we're doing Andy Noonan's. He put up a recipe recently for barbecued Brussels sprouts with a smoked garlic aioli.
Ooh.
So I'm going to make that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make the smoked garlic aioli the day before.
That's interesting. I'm actually, I haven't decided on my sprout recipe yet this year. So I'm in the market for one. I'm looking around at the moment.
You should look it up. It's on the Big Grill social. That's where I saw it.
I'll have a look at that.
It looks really nice. But yeah, so I think I just want, I mean, we don't have to do both sides, but I just thought, why not? It'd be a bit of fun. But yeah, so I guess the sandwich afterwards could be a mix of all those.
I suppose when you talk about it then like that, we, you know, everything we were saying, it was kind of all based around like, you know, the bird or like, you know, the main there. But I think, you know, half it is about what else is on the table.
Yeah.
You know, the way like, you know,
sides are
so important. Like, you know, it's amazing. Like I literally just like, when you think about it, you put, you know, your couple of slices of it's turkey and ham on the plate, but then it's like, you know, you're just scooping.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's my favorite part of Christmas. I think like Christmas dinner, actually, like, you know, it's kind of like, as long as like, you know, you have your, you know, for me, it's all about the ham. I just really love ham. And I just really love ham. Like super glaze. Like it's super glaze, super sticky, super little bit of sweetness. That's me. Like I said, turkey can be a little bit boring. Mine won't be, obviously, but turkey can be a little bit boring. But it's the sides. It's the, like, you know, it's having three different types of potatoes on the plate.
Do you want a hot tip? You know, the Dublin Cocktail Lab hot whiskey syrup.
Oh yeah,
I got it yesterday as a gift.
Yeah. As a ham glaze, mix it with a bit of mustard and brown sugar.
Oh
yeah.
Listen, let me tell you. Let me tell you something. Yeah,
I was only looking at it today in the cafe, going, because we've loads of it left over, and I'm like, what are we gonna do with it? That's perfect.
I got it yesterday, and I was like, this looks really cool.
Yeah, because it's like pimento, cardamom, like there's loads of deadly stuff in it. Like,
cook it down with a little bit of brown sugar and a good bit of either whole grain or just good Dijon mustard, and then just get painting.
Yeah, I might do that tonight.
We're really, I'm getting a lot of ideas here.
Yeah, really good.
Actually, before we go any further, I just wanted to take a little break to talk about Head Stuff Podcast Network, because we are all members of that and very proud to be. And we just wanted to remind everyone that it's such a great thing to support the network, not only ourselves, but like all the other podcasts on it. If you go to the website, headstuffpodcast.com, you can join and become a member for €5 a month. You get access to like loads of bonus material with all the different podcasts. If there's like merchandise, bonus material, access to that as well. And the podcasts vary from, like, obviously we're both food podcasts, but there are other ones that are like gossip, you know, social justice, film, politics. So lots to dive into there. And there's so many amazing ones. I definitely recommend doing it. And plus you're supporting this Irish podcasts and enabling us to be part of this community of creative voices and promoting all the topics that we're all so passionate about. So again, the website there is headstuffpodcast.com. So before we finish up, will we talk about, I was thinking when you guys were talking about, two things came to mind. Drinks.
Yeah.
Over Christmas, like how important drinking, not drinking, but drinks. Very because important. Even as you mentioned there, like, you know, is it kind of, do you guys like pair with your dinner or how does drinks come into it? But also as well, I wanted to talk about the next day.
Yeah.
So as well. So let's talk about drinks first and then go on to the next day.
I think
whoever wants to go first, Chris, do you want to?
Yeah. Well, for me, you know, for much as much as I love a drink, it's actually kind of a strange one for me because I seem like I'm always driving on Christmas Day. So like I'm never settled in because I'm never cooking in my own house. I'm always somewhere else. So it's all like the drinking for me, like it's always just maybe one glass of wine. So I'm maybe Marcus better equipped to answer this one. Don't get me wrong.
But are you a fan of mulled wine, for example?
I'm a massive fan of mulled wine, a massive fan of hot whiskey. Yeah. But yeah, like I suppose like over Christmas then it's kind of, drinks over Christmas for me is more like it's socializing, it's seeing people you haven't seen in so long. And it's like, it's not so much what you're drinking, it's like who you're drinking with, you know, yeah. To be like a mad cliche, but yeah. Like I suppose on Christmas Day then, like, you know, I usually always get home at 6 or 7 o'clock and then it's like having a drink with Ashley, like my partner, and just like, you know, just really like having that kind of traditional family time, who you love, like, you know, just spending time with people you love.
Yeah.
But like I suppose pairing with food and stuff like that, you know, don't be wrong, I pair drinks with food all the way the rest of the year, but it's actually not as important as me on Christmas Day, but it might be as important for you, Marcus.
I don't even have a driver's license, so let me tell you.
But would you start with like something like some bubbles, then go on to white and red in terms of wine? Or
I love bubbly stuff. Love bubbly. Love bubbly stuff. Even going back to when I was a little kid in France, I was always given a little glass of champagne on the sly.
Yeah.
Not even on the sly. It was just there. Because French people are a lot more lax with booze than Irish people. I'll start the day with a mimosa. Always, you know, I'll just get some good orange juice. I'll get or some like peach nectar and just to, like, knock that back. Maybe knock another one back.
Yeah.
Then I've got to start cooking and I'll be ambling around the kitchen. I'll be doing my stuff. I'll generally be having maybe a glass of white wine, maybe a Bloody Mary if I'm feeling it, depending if I've been out on Christmas Eve. White wine, generally Old World whites with all the fish and seafood. Yeah. Then just always get usually burgundy.
Yeah.
Stick around nice few bottles of Pinot Noir.
Lovely.
And then in terms of mulled wine, it's something I've kind of deep dived in. I make a 50-50 mix of mulled red wine and Buckfast.
Interesting.
I'm not totally sold on that.
Do you know what? Let me come to your house for Christmas.
Yes, like, I'm interested. Seriously. Tell me more.
It just like it adds a level of warmth. Buckfast is super sweet, so you don't have to counterbalance it with sugar. You can add in a lot of citrus. You can add in a lot of spice.
I know Jess Murphy makes her ham with Buckfast.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually that's kind of where I got the idea, to be honest. Jess is a champion of Buckfast.
Yeah.
So it's just never got a hold of me before. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the only situation that I drink it in. When I do a gig in Galway and I'm like, it just inevitably ends up in my rider.
Yeah. Or the north of Scotland.
Yeah.
I kind of like to at Christmas try out cocktails and stuff like that as well. I feel like it's one of those times of year that I kind of dive into the drinks cabinet, shall we call it.
Yeah.
You know, it's collecting stuff over the year and just try out some cocktail. Probably just because you have time or you have guests and it's nice to try. And then adding little spices and things to them, I think.
Do you know what's a hot tip for this Christmas?
Hot tip.
Freezer door martini. So basically, if you like a gin martini or a vodka martini, you figure out your dilution ratio and you basically get a bottle of gin. Ideally, when that's a bit drunk out of it, you add some vermouth. You add some water and you just keep it in your freezer and you're ready to go martini at any time.
I'm a martini drinker.
Yeah, you don't.
Right.
Actually, you know, you can actually buy them. You can buy
the cans. I have the cans in the house now at the moment. I haven't tried them yet.
I thought you were going to say I have a can.
You can just keep a bottle and it won't freeze because of the alcohol content in your freezer and it'll be like below zero, ready to go at any time.
Ooh.
And then what you do is you go down to Aldi or Lidl, you get the cheapest jar of like Polish pickles you can get, and that makes the best dirty martini you will ever have. Like, that is...
May's gonna try it.
Yeah.
She looks interested.
This is checking a lot of my boxes. Yeah.
I've redeemed myself for the Buckfast mulled wine.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you guys is about the next day. So do you guys use up all your leftovers with one of these magical casseroles or things that people do in Ireland?
I think when people say they do a turkey curry, they're lying. Like, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, I use my turkey in a curry. No, you don't. That's a lie.
It's like, why did you cook like a 14 kilo turkey for three people, you weirdo?
I think next day, like, and like we were talking about kind of bringing stuff today, and I just like, I brought, like, so for me, like, it's always cheese boards. Like, you know, just that's kind of a big thing for me around Christmas as well.
We talked about Christmas for 30 minutes. We have to mention cheese.
Cheese is a massive thing. And I suppose when you look in the supermarkets now, and like, you know, what you'll often seem to get is like, you know, a blue, a semi-soft and a soft, like, you know, but kind of for me, I like, you know, but some of them, you know, it's nearly always like, you know, your cashel and then like, you know, just a brie and then like a cheddar. Well, for me, like, I brought some of my favorite ones today. So like, you know, just three really good Irish cheeses that I kind of, it kind of goes along those lines as well.
Yeah.
So like for my blue, I have the Young Buck from Newtown Arts. So like, you know, not really kind of like a blow you away blue either. Just like, just full of flavor, like, you know, just really, really good. I can't even remember what's over there now. So then I have I actually went for the goat cheese, so St. Tola, right?
Love it.
You have to shut, like, when I first came across St. Tola, I was actually obsessed with it because I was never a big goat cheese fan. And now you just put that on anything. And it just like enhances just
the,
like,
legends as well. Cool people.
Yeah, incredible. And then for like my semi soft, then I have like just two different ones that I really love. So either Gabeen, was obviously the Ferguson's down in Skull, or else just around the corner from them in West Cork as well, Durris, Durris could be my favourite cheese. I actually just love it.
It's really good.
It's really, really good. So if you're getting your cheese board this year, They're Chris Mellon's recommendations.
Yeah, that's great.
Have you ever baked the Durris?
No, I've never baked Durris. Now, obviously, I've baked Camembert and stuff over the years.
It's pretty delicious.
Really? Yeah. I suppose. Actually, when you just look at the wheel, yeah, of course it's going to be delicious.
There's a gorgeous brie as well, just to mention, Ballylisk.
Ballylisk
do the triple rose, which is absolutely beautiful, and they do a smoked version of it. But they brought out a brie. And it's absolutely gorgeous. They're from Armagh. It's worth checking out.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable. I love now as well. You're seeing all the truffle brie is floating around at the moment.
It's just
ridiculous. Like,
oh,
yeah.
It's so dirty.
A cheese hamper is a fantastic gift.
I love actually now at this time of year. I know, obviously, don't buy them, but you just kind of like, because like I already have half the stuff in my house, but just like all the parlour gifts of like all the different stuff that you can buy people in a hamper. Like, there's loads of Whopper shops doing them. But you just, there's so much good Irish like stuff you can buy in jars. You know what I mean? I have a lot of that stuff now ready to go for just after Christmas. Crackers, really good bread, and then maybe like, you know, some nice meats flowing around as well in the fridge, you know.
That's where your spiced beef comes into its own, I think.
Yeah.
Love it. Guys, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. It's been so nice to have you on the podcast, but also just to hear all about your Christmas. And we wish you a very happy Christmas.
Likewise, it was an absolute pleasure. And come here, when's the book? Like, what's going on? It's winter. We were talking about books there and soup. I just actually don't know. I'm really interested. When is the Spice Bag soup book coming to us?
It's on, I think it's the 26th of January. So that's with Blasta Books. And we're very excited to be the first one next year.
Fabulous.
Excuse me, got a cold. We basically have gone out and collected 3 of them are ours, so then 21 recipes from people that we've met through our journey in Spice Bags or friends of ours.
Amazing.
So it's all international soups. It's just really, and the story behind the soup with that person, like, you know, why they chose it or why we chose them or our relationship with them. But everyone loves soup.
So it's not just a recipe. It's like, you know, there's a bit of something about it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Storytelling, mm-hmm. I suppose, is kind of giving voice to them is what we, you know, I suppose try and do in the podcast as well. But I just think, because we did an episode on soup for the podcast.
Yeah.
And we realized we all have very different opinions about it and upbringing about it, traditions with it. And that every country has a soup or has, you know, finds comfort in it. I know Marcus, you and I were talking about comfort food recently.
Yep.
And it's just like, you know, soup is such a comforting thing for so many different reasons. And everybody loves it. So, yeah, I think people are going to love this, guys, aren't they? It looks gorgeous as well.
I'm really excited for it. I'm in a WhatsApp group called Soup Share, which is like 40
really?
People.
Really?
Yeah, which is like 40 people. And there's like loads of other journalists and stuff like that.
Wow.
So if Soup Share, if you're listening, do you know what this is? This
January 26th.
January 26th. It's a book coming specifically for you.
You can actually pre-order now on Blasta Books.
And who doesn't want a book full of soups in the, you know, January when it's absolutely freezing in Ireland? Do you know what I mean? There you go.
And there genuinely are such gorgeous soups in there.
I look forward to replicating some of those recipes.
And quite beautifully illustrated.
Of course.
So beautiful. Yeah. Nikki Hooper.
Nikki Hooper. Yeah. Abundantly talented.
Nikki, amazing. Have yourself a good Christmas.
Have yourself a lovely bowl of soup, Nikki.
After illustrating all these beautiful books for Blasta during the year. Soupy Nikki. Next year. So, yeah, I mean, really looking forward to it. Thanks for asking us about that. But we have, yeah, very exciting. And our first episode actually in the new year will be about that. Will be about the cookbook. We'll have Kristen Jensen, the publisher, on with us.
Fab. And shout we're out be to talking about
that. Yeah. Yeah. And then also all the other books, the other three that are coming next year, which is Connor Spacey's Dune, Wasted. I'm probably getting these in the wrong order. Sorry if I am. Tapas.
And then Bahe.
Sorry, Tapas from the Vanessa and
Anna.
Sorry, in Les Tapas de Lola. And then Bahe, Richie, and Alex are doing the last one.
Very exciting.
Really exciting.
Such a cool gang of amazing books for next year.
Yeah, they're such great books. They're really
great
good.
Stocking fillers for Christmas 2023, guys. Just
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, yeah. Just saying. Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, listen, thank you again.
Merry Christmas.
And for everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. And you can find us at spicebags.ie and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at spicebagspod. Please give us a follow. Thanks so much. Woo.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.